The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Lord Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. Joining us today is Steve Elkins down there in God's waiting room, also known as Florida. And I've got P.J. Barton here, but I wanted to play a short clip as to what is going on over there, and I can't seem to locate the damn thing. So at any rate, P.J. Barton, you're here good today. Evening. How you doing?
Yep, very good. I was going to say good evening, citizens of the Constitutional Republic of Limited Government. How's that going for you?
I'm sorry.
We just went into a
time warp. Were you describing this country at its inception or current day?
No, in 100 years' time, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, play the clip.
I'm still looking for the clip.
Mm-hmm. Just describe it there, yeah?
Well, it was actually the UKIP guy over there, not Nigel Farage. Yeah. That was
Gerard Batten.
Yes.
I know Gerald. Yeah, I know him well.
You do know him.
He used to sign my papers, or nomination papers, and I was talking to him recently. But he's standing in as leader for Farage. But Farage announced this evening on radio that he's going to 90% go back in to the leadership of UKIP next March or sooner because of what happened today, which I'll explain to you in a minute.
Yeah, and please do, because you're right at the mm-hmm. center of all this.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Oh, I'm. Yeah.
You're enmeshed in this 24/7, and we're supposed to have the Brexit vote coming up, or it's supposed to be completed by March of next year. But we just saw Theresa May pretty much throw the almost 18 million people that voted to get the hell away from the European Union, and she put her political fix in. Now, who was this character that supposedly was against her, but voted and hopped on his bicycle and pedaled out of town? Who was that guy?
Well, there's two people today. The key man is the Brexit Secretary, David Davis. Now, he resigned for a very principal reason, that she changed the agenda. I'll have to start at the beginning. There was this mega meeting held in Chequers, which is the country residence of the Prime Minister, an all-day meeting, and the rules were this, and they let this out through the press office in Downing Street, that no minister was to bring a mobile phone, and anybody who resigned for any reason would have to walk home, that their ministerial car would be immediately taken from them, right? Boot camp for ministers, okay? and unprecedented. But this all-day meeting was to sort out all the rows for 2 years between the cabinet, between the Remainers and the Brexiteers, right? That's what it was about. And it came down to 12 principles that they were going to negotiate with the European Union, okay? And by 9 o'clock, she came out of the meeting, and here we are. She's interviewed by Laura Gunsberg, and they have this agreement, right? And then they all trottle to go home in the dark in their cars. But this morning at 12 o'clock, Sunday night, last night, David Davis, who is the Brexiter, you probably know and recognize the name, he's the Brexit minister, negotiating with all the civil servants of Brussels, he said he couldn't take it for Article 5, which I'll read out to you in a minute, and he was resigning. And then 9 hours later, Boris Johnson resigned as the foreign secretary. So she's lost two of the major people in her government.
Well, and Johnson is the one that I am referring to that voted for the fix and then left.
Well, they all did. They all sought the entire 25 there supposedly agreed, some with reservations, right? And he and Davis had their reservations. But I think they were to sign up to it during the week when it was put before Parliament. That's when it would really, when the rubber would hit the road, if you like. But this has caused havoc now. And it's put Theresa May, 48 hours, she had this successful meeting and the result, and now it's in shambles, an absolute total shambles.
Well, and I'm looking at this and I'm wondering why the people of Jolly Old are not out there trying to string her up.
Yeah, well, the in the cabinet, for instance, you have this is all these contradictory situations. You have 9 Brexiteer ministers and 13 Remainers. Right, that's been the basis of the rows. And Theresa May, who is basically looking, her entire life is based. This is the way I put it. She's been looking for a form of words to get over problems in the U.S. Just a form of words. That's a political syndrome, anyway. You know, you get that in America as well. But she now is. They could possibly trigger a leadership vote on her. That would take 3 months. But I don't know if they will. But they want her to change Article 5. The document I sent to Mike and for you to read, it's all 12 points there. But the key thing is Article 5, and I'll tell you where the damage is. She was going to suggest to the European Union that UK would sign up to the common notebook, it's called. Now, that's a slang word for EU procedures, which would tie Britain into the European Court. And in the trade talks, which is now the part of the final negotiations, which is massive, the trade talks would be bound by the rulings of the European Court, which she said she was trying to get away from. So they have resigned for a pretty good reason, actually. But they've ambushed her. That's what they've done. Tacitly agreed it, but then ambushed her today. And it's pretty damn serious, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, this is supposed to take place. This is supposed to all be done by March 29th of next year. But if they had a referendum on should we keep Theresa May or not, and even if it did take 3 months, they got time.
No. That's the Conservative Party, parliamentary party, have a leadership contest about her.
Oh.
If they sign 48, here's the figures. If 48 members of the parliamentary party out of 323 sign a motion of no confidence, they have to have a leadership contest, which would take 3 months. Now, they may do it more quickly, but it may not happen. But just tell you some shocking side effects of this. Well, the European Union are rubbing their hands in glee. This appalling country, which can't agree a position on what they want from the European Union, supposedly agreed it on Friday, and then it fell apart today. But she went to Parliament this evening, said this was going ahead, and she was going ahead with it, and she was going to face them down, blah, blah, blah. So, and the media is in a tailspin, because just one quick thing. Davis resigned at 12:15 on Sunday. Now, usually the Monday morning papers are printed actually on a Saturday with just a few adjustments. So they were caught on the hop. All the national papers this morning didn't have the story. It's all over the radio, right? So he pulled a fast one there. But he has resigned on a point of principle. But Boris Johnson is a tricky piece of work, and he is an ambitious git, and he didn't want to leave the crown of the dissenting with David Davis. Therefore, that's why he resigned. So if it comes to a contest, the two of them will be fighting the position. And a third man, I have to tell you who the third man is. You'll fall off the chair. This, the new Muslim Home Secretary, Sadiq. I'm going to get his name right. Sajid, S-A-J-I-D, maybe there's a linguist, Sadiq Javid, who is the new Muslim Home Secretary, who swore his oath of office on the Quran, not the Bible.
Okay, but here's the problem. This guy wants to get into the power play game, but part of the Brexit deal was we don't want the foreigners pouring into our country.
I know, yeah. And this guy, if Theresa May fails, he's 6-1 with the bookies against Boris Johnson and David Davis. It's just more intrigue again, but it may not happen. But I'll give you another statistic which throws the whole thing into perspective. Of the 650 constituencies in the UK that voted, obviously, 2 years ago, only 128 voted to stay in the European Union. the balance 522 voted to leave. Now, if that was an electoral college, that would be 80-20 in favor of leaving, right?
Well, it's not an electoral college. Hey, I said it earlier, PJ. I don't know if you heard me. I said that, look, almost 18 million people voted to get the hell out. This schmoozing with the European Union has done nothing but destroy the sovereignty, economic condition of Britain. And what I've heard is that a lot of people, since this Brexit vote took place, that they now see that they were Remainers before, but now they want to get out. So the number might even be greater. Now, it appears to me that the English people have voted. They have made their stance clear. And now we see a tamping down of this or a fix coming in. And the suggestion that I had, with 18 million people over in England, do you think everybody could walk off of their job?
A national strike, you're saying.
An actual strike against, what in the hell are you doing? We've made our intention clear. What are you people doing? And just stop the whole damn thing. Just stop dead in its tracks.
Those things are there to be done, but this is a very, like you're just describing, how sedated people are in America. To get there's those who are in politics are very active and talk about it, but this doesn't hardly crop up in people's conversation on the street here. But and I was going to start with a humorous piece. I'll just do it now, just very quick. I'm sitting here recovering myself today from a shocking heat wave. We've had 3 months drought and a horrendous heat wave. 85 degrees today, 85% humidity. I nearly died.
You're talking Florida weather.
I'm telling you. Well, I'm 325 pounds, 6 foot tall. I'm a tad overweight. But I'm at this frigging computer 15 hours a day. Some days, not every day. But and I'm surrounded by World Cup fever. You know, the World Cup is going on in Russia, and Britain are doing very well. England, the England team have won their way to the semi-finals, and the pubs are running out of beer. They're not actually running out of beer, but they're running out of CO2 gas to pump the beer, because all these young gits go down to the pub and get smashed every night looking at on a big screen at the World Cup. So apart from that, everything's just hunky-dory, and the government is in a state of collapse. So otherwise, you could just, dig a hole and bury yourself.
Well, and I, everybody was cheering. I didn't have the time to watch Nigel Farage's 90-minute radio program, as you said.
It failed today. It failed for the first time ever. He was going great guns. He does the program 4 nights a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and he does this from 4 locations, London, Brussels, Strasbourg and New York, because he's a correspondent for Fox News. You probably see him. I would think he was on Fox News tonight. I won't see that until YouTube tomorrow. But I would imagine he was on YouTube tonight as regards what has happened. He made a commitment before he went off air, it was just a minor glitch, that if this doesn't be corrected, he's going back in to stand for the leadership of UKIP after Gerard Batten's time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly what has to take place.
Well, take into account, though, but his platform is the European Parliament. He's been there 20 years, and that's where he gets supposed to. He's never been in the House of Commons.
Yeah.
The UKIP only had two in the lawsuit suit, but they caused the havoc that caused Cameron to be pushed to have the referendum. And it's largely down to him and his personality. And he's a tremendous broadcaster. He's taken to broadcasting like a duck to water on LBC radio. But he gave that commitment today. He was absolutely furious at what went on.
Well, as I would be as well, and he used the European Union platform perfectly, because he was standing right in the rat's nest, and he was given both barrels to him every time the man stood up. And they stopped rolling their eyes because the Brexit vote actually took place, and the people in the European Commons or the European Union didn't look as comfortable just deriding this guy anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's the only name that people can name in the European Parliament. There are 78 members from Britain, and you ask people on the street, the only name that can be Nigel Farage. The rest of them are absolute deadwood, including some of his own people, by the way.
Wow.
They're absolute deadwood. But,
hey, PJ, I've got a question for you, PJ.
Yeah? Sure,
Playing devil's advocate here, kind of a Hillary Clinton mode of schemes and tactics. Michael Rivera's reported he didn't believe that the people would actually get their wish. They'd ever leave the Brexit. They'd be stuck in the European Union. I happen to believe that that's a high probability that these people, their vote's not going to be valid at all. They're going to actually stay in the European Union. If that being true, a possibility, how would they manipulate this to do that? How would they do that?
No, that won't happen. But you're right. There are degrees of kind of Brexit without an exit, half stuck in and half out, and leave the European Union. But this Article 5 is whereby, if they agree to this Article 5, the British government, and agree to do it with the European Union, they're tied into the European Court of Justice on trade disputes, which drags us right back into the European Union, where we would be a rule taker, but not a rule maker. That's the phrase that's been used.
Got it. Thank you.
So, but just to clarify that, there's many things in your question there to add as well, if you want to.
Yeah, I was just looking at this article. Where did this come from? This article that you sent over.
That's it. I was finding it hard to get it. It's confusing because the 12 points were down 7 weeks ago, and this is the actual 12 points agreed at the meeting in Chequers, which is what's the whole thing about. And it's one of them, Article 5 of that. That's from what's on the bottom of the.
Okay.
Oh, I took it down from. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Well, while you're. Where?
Politic Mag. I just wanted to get a coherent one that printed well, that's all. PoliticMag.net.
Okay.
PoliticMag.net.
All right. Well, and this is what it reads. Mrs. May is pledged to maintain a common rule book for food, farm, and industrial goods, which would mean the UK would align with the EU regulation, as well as commit to an ongoing harmonization of the bloc's rules. Now, this is going right back to the EU for basically their permission. While the Prime Minister says this will hand back control of regulations to Parliament, with the MPs given the final say on changing the rules, many fear it will hamper Britain's ability to strike trade deals. Now, a full U.S. trade deal was called into question because of the common rulebook, because the UK would not be able to accept a number of Washington standards, for example, on chlorine-washed chicken, which the EU has a ban on. Yeah, I mean, this is trivial stuff. But
not for me. And I wouldn't eat chlorine washed chicken. I hope you don't.
Well, I mean, we're eating chicken over here that is it's made by the Tyson Corporation. That if you saw the chicken before it was cut up, you wouldn't walk near it, let alone eat it.
I know. I've been in meat factories here.
So you're fully aware of that. But the problem I'm having here is people are making their declarations. They're doing it by way of vote. And the crooked politicians and the ones that are in there, I personally believe Theresa May was brought in to do exactly what we're seeing here right now.
No. She happened to be there. So it evolved into her. Cameron did the honorable thing and ducked out when he lost the referendum, et cetera, et cetera. And just one of the figures of the Conservative Party, 650 seats, they've 323, I think. 185 of them, well, let me give you this contradictory set of statistics, which is very perverse. 185 are Remainers MPs, Conservative MPs, 138 are Leavers, and 80% of the constituencies right across the UK are, as I said, both Labour and Conservative voted to leave. And it only came up at 52.5% win, right? It was tight. But there was a major event, which I've never got to say properly on RVN. This young MP who was Remainer MP Labour was murdered. She was a very popular young, very attractive young woman, and she was murdered a week before the vote, and the vote slipped back from 56 to 52. That I can absolutely guarantee you did happen. But and then we have Trump coming here this week on top of the whole thing, and Sadiq Khan, the mayor, and I get these names right, has given permission. I don't know how Theresa May let him do this, to put up a blimp, some protest group to put up a blimp of Trump dressed in a napkin and a pin, you know, a napkin pin, to make fun of him, which is outrageous. You know, he's insulting the American people doing that. And just to clarify something, Farage wasn't banned by the European Union. He was banned by the Theresa May government that he was not to meet.
I said it was the UK government. And I said, who in the hell's got the right to tell a private citizen that he can't meet with the President of the United States or vice versa?
Yeah, well, Trump was promoting him as possible UK ambassador to the United States. He has no power to do that.
Well, that would make sense. All right, well, I got it. PJ, hang on a second. I've got to take a break. We'll sum all this stuff after the 3-minute break here. Does votes count for anything anymore? I vote that we don't vote anymore.
Dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Was just made aware, PJ, that your Twitch settings are all screwed up. So,
no, they're not.
Yeah, they are. So, no, buddy, no. Yeah, they are. So,
hey, PJ.
Myself and Ken get on fine on the Saturday. We had them perfect on Saturday, and the priest.
Yeah,
but I had a few weeks ago, I took it off. But I can adjust here just the volume. There's three volume settings, and they're set at the normal 3/4 strength, and that's it.
Mike, you're saying something. What? Okay, they need to be normalized to the board. It doesn't matter what your settings are. So if I have to come in here Saturday night with Ken,
you want to put them down. You want me to put them down then?
Yeah. Well, we'll make the adjustment Saturday night. I'll come in myself. All right. At any rate,
PJ, I've got a question for you. Quicker.
Yeah.
PJ,
I'm going to give you a second answer. Yeah, I'll do what you say. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on John's chat room here, and somebody's asking me a question to relay to you. It says, please ask PJ if Brexit is going to solve the ills of that nation concerning immigration and their economy.
Oh, it would, yeah. There will be a Brexit, and I think the major things will be agreed that we got control of immigration, that okay. We have to get out of the grips of the European court and the 60,000 laws of the European Union. But there will be a Brexit, but there's a fallback position Britain can just get up from the table, walk away, and we become not a third world country, a third country, which means we're WTO negotiators with the European Union. We just carry on that. That is a fallback position that Britain.
Is there any strength that the European Union has left? I mean, because we haven't said anything about Spain or Greece. Italy has just elected a new government. I don't know which way that's going to flop. But does the European Union have any power over these countries anymore?
You mean the eight crises? I've written on this for different people. Eight crises in the European Union. Number one, Brexit. Number two, Catalonia. Number three, the four countries that grouped together in Poland, Czechoslovakia, and the two beside them there. Italy, which has now got its feet as a government, are going to absolutely knock hell out of the European, even though they're being blackmailed and being told to blackmail. The Troika, the European Central Bank, the IMF, and the World Bank have been blackmailing Italian governments to keep them in the euro. Totally destructive to them. Four countries out of six saying, everybody knows. No economist argues this point, be they left or right. Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Greece need to get the hell out of the euro. Destroying them. It's too strong a currency for them. And this is the kind of crap they go on with. But they'll keep doing what they do until it breaks up in possibly, well, there won't be civil wars. Nowadays, you have civil wars become guerrilla warfare. But they're heading to these various crises that are shocking. And they're talking about setting up their own army parallel to NATO by taking over all the armies of the countries.
Wow.
But just one other thing. If there's a Brexit agreement by some miracle, here's what has to be agreed. The 27 other countries who have the veto have to agree it. The European Parliament, 750 MPs, have to agree it, well, by party groups. European Commission, well, they will agree it if they agree it. And the House of Commons have to pass it. So fun, as Sergeant Bilko used to say.
Wow. Well, I'm not looking forward to it, but I was just astounded. And the solution to making the Parliament, which, by the way, folks, Theresa May stood up in front of everybody, and it's amazing. We don't do that here in this country.
That's just a quick question I should ask you off air. Can you get the BBC directly there through satellite or other means, or and watch Prime Minister's questions?
No, we get the entertainment side of BBC America.
But see, you've missed 20 years of that. It's full on, absolutely aggressive questioning of the Prime Minister under a set of rules. But that goes on, and then BBC Newsnight, who did a very good program tonight, did a very measured piece, and Evan Davis, the presenter, says to the panel he had in the studio, is there anything that we can carry a majority on this country? The cabinet split, the House of Commons is split, we've had the elections, we have too many, there's no majority for anything anywhere. It seems that on the surface.
Wow.
But there you are. Wow. That's how bad it is.
Well, PJ, I appreciate it. I know it's a big deal, and it's got to be done, but the political machinations and the influence that's being demonstrated is we are the bankers, and we will tell you what you're going to do, and if you don't, you're going to be raked over the coals for time immemorial.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah.
Regarding my settings, listen to my archive. I did a series program last week on 5G, and I tell you, of all the massively important things that RBN deals with, this now is number one.
Yeah.
5G is going to kill us. It's going to kill us dead. But listen to the archive. I don't think you'll find. I listened back. It was nothing wrong with the sound of it.
No. It's the adjustment that's made to your adjustments, and it records okay. But the problem is that everybody else that uses the same settings is totally, totally useless. Well, we've got to put a standard in there of which we can tweak a little bit, but the settings for your program using that Twitch are so far out of bounds that it records okay, but it's not conducive to the board. So we'll explain all that later. All right.
Down on Saturday, and I'll send you a drink or something.
All right. Hey, PJ, okay. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir.
Hey, thanks, PJ.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Wow. He's in the middle of it there, isn't he?
Right, dead smack in the middle of it.
Yeah, he is.
All right, let's take the break. We'll be back.
What goes up must come down.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
We're back. Mike, I just sent that over to you. Open up your email. It's the second video in there. Or I'm sorry, the first video. The second one is the full presentation of Nigel Farage for like 90 minutes. But this one pretty well summed it up. See if that opens up for you. No, not coming your way, huh?
It said it did.
All right, let me try this. Let me try to open it up and play it on my end. It didn't want to do it before. You got it? Okay, open that puppy up. It's the first video in that story. Boy, I'll tell you what. Maybe we do need 5G because things seem to be moving rather
slowly. No, you don't. I talked to Eric Wenheim about that. 5G is going to be a killer.
Yeah.
It's going to cause a lot more health issues.
Okay, scroll down on that. Get me the – and and still making you wait. We need 5G. Give me 5G, man. There it is. Not that one. Not that one. That one. Whew. Finally. I'm sorry? First video. What's the guy's name? Gerard Batten. And PJ said he knows this guy. So go ahead and play that.
Mrs. May and her Tory government's Chequers agreement is a complete betrayal of Brexit and everything it was meant to be. It is a surrender document to the European Union. And what does it contain? Well, she wants us to continue to have our goods and our exports controlled and legislated for by the European Union. Those decisions will be the province of the European Court of Justice, and we're still going to have more or less open borders to EU migration. The key thing that Brexit was about taking back democratic control. It was about living in our own country under our own laws, made by our own democratically elected governments, accountable to us, the British people. And she is signalling that she is going to betray all that. She has done everything she possibly can in the last 2 years to delay Brexit, to impede the Brexit, and all in the intended outcome of reversing the referendum decision. What she's trying to do is achieve a deal whereby we leave in name but not in reality. Now, if you're one of the 17.4 million people who voted to leave, and indeed I think more people now who've come round to the view that it was a correct decision, you should feel rightly betrayed. You should want to do something about it. Now, if you go on voting Tory, Labour or Lib Dem, then don't expect a different outcome. If you want a different outcome, then I ask you to rally to the UKIP banner. I'm taking this opportunity today to ask you to join UKIP. We fought for 25 years to be where we are today. We fought for the referendum, we won the referendum, and now we have to win the result. If you agree with UKIP, if you want to live in your own country governed by your own democratically elected politicians, answerable to you and sackable by you, then I ask you to join UKIP today and in our fight for a proper Brexit and to restore our country's democratic traditions, our birthright. Rally to the UKIP banner. Join UKIP today. Go to ukip.org/join. Thank you.
And that is what Nigel Farage is threatening to take over UKIP and bring that to the European, I'm sorry, the British Parliament. I'll tell you what, he's going to have to do it. Steve, would you trust these characters to pass anything of what the British voters voted on?
No, I don't trust my own government, let alone somebody else's.
Loomer and North California. Is that Northern California? Hello, Loomer.
Hey, good afternoon or good evening, John. I just thought I'd let you know. I know this is a little bit off topic, but what I'd like to, on whatreallyhappened.com, I ran across a story from the Gateway Pundit where there's a witness that can identify the two killers of Seth Rich, and they say one of them was a DEA agent and the other one was DEA, and I can't remember. Bureau of Alcohol and Firearms.
So one was an ATF and the other's DEA, and they witnessed the killing of Seth Rich?
Yes.
Are these people still? Are these people?
Conference.
What?
They're going to have a news conference here later in the week, I guess. But you can look it up. It's on whatreallyhappened.com. You can find it. It's right up. It's not too far up from the top.
I'll take a look at it and post it and. I'll be checking my clock to see if they don't expire between now and then.
I sure hope you would. I'd like to see it on RBN. So,
all right.
I thank you very much for your time, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Loomer.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, appreciate it. Wow.
Check that out.
Well, and, you know, the level of corruption in this country, the audacity that's being leaked that Hillary's considering 2020 run, where, from prison? That's where she should be. Her and Billy.
On the Seth Rich thing, we knew that from the beginning. They didn't take his wallet. They didn't take his watch.
Yeah, but we didn't know that there were two government employees that witnessed it.
Yeah, wow. This was not a robbery. This was a hit.
This was exactly a hit.
A hit. Poor guy. Poor guy did the right thing. He did the right thing, and he paid the ultimate price. Poor guy.
By the way, Supreme Court announcement, I guess, is going to be made here in about 20 minutes.
No, it's a Tuesday.
What?
Tuesday night.
Tomorrow night?
I just pulled it up. Yeah, it said Tuesday night. They lied to us. They said Monday night. First it said Monday afternoon, Monday night. Now it's Tuesday night.
Well, that's what Fox News have been reporting all day.
Yeah. So,
just. Any bets? I understand that I won't even go there.
I already know he's going to win.
Who?
Orrin Hatch opened up his pie hole there and kind of let it slip out. The gender. You take a guess. This was predictable. Guess it. Amy Coney Barrett.
46 years old. And guess who she used to clerk for?
I can't tell you who.
Anton Scalia.
Scalia. Oh.
You know, the guy that just had that funny death experience down here in Texas.
Yeah. Never sleep with a pillow over your face like that. That's
yeah,
not good.
It's bad to do. And also that she is one that would not shy away from going back in and clearing up some cases that SCOTUS, how they voted, should have never voted on.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know, John, I'm glad you mentioned that because there's a big concern that Roe versus Wade's going to be overturned. It's not going to happen. Oh. It's not going to happen with a Democrat or a Republican. It's going to remain as is. I predict that it will stay intact. Doesn't matter who's in that position.
Well, have you ever been wrong in your life?
No, but I'm going to make my point is that
you've never been wrong in your life?
No, I've been wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're wrong again on this one.
I think, no, they won't overturn it. There's too many. When there's a demand and there's a population, there's a demand, there's always going to be a supplier. And we're not going to go back to chop shops. We're not going to go back to back alley abortions and people dying. Then you have two people dying instead of one person possibly dying. This is going to be left up to a woman. They're not going to say, no, abortions are illegal. It's never going to happen. If it does happen, I will come back and say I am wrong. I don't know. We'll figure out a punishment for me. But I do think that the cost, the human life cost, would be very significant to overturn Roe versus Wade. I think there'd be a lot of people dying. And that's what they don't want. They shouldn't want. So I think it'll stay intact. Doesn't matter who's in there. I can't see them overturning that, personally.
Well, I don't know.
You know, I had a class, folklore class in IU, and I had to find some old people, and I went to nursing homes, and I found old people with stories, interesting folklore stories, and a lot of them were true. And one of them I do remember from a little woman named Miss Rodocker. She told me about young girls in a small town she lived in that they left town, and excuse was made that they were visiting a relative or they were sick, and they went somewhere. And some of the girls didn't come back. And then it came back into town. What happened to them? They died. They died having abortions elsewhere. And that's exactly what I think about when I think of overturning Roe versus Wade, is that you're going to have these problems, people dying, not just one, possibility of two people dying. And I think of that story every time, you know, whenever we talk about this stuff. I think about that story she told me of all those young girls who left town. And some didn't come back. Some died. And the families were shamed, and they had to make up excuses. But she said, we knew what happened. She got pregnant. She left town. Some of them came back. The babies were put up for adoption. So they came back and made some excuse up. But some died.
Okay, Steve. So what am I hearing you say here?
What I'm saying is if we go back, if we reverse Roe versus Wade, if we do that, we're going to see the same situation this woman told me about. People dying. A lot of people dying.
Okay, a lot of people die? Well, what about the 63 million children that have died?
I agree with that, too. That's wrong, too. What I'm saying is that you'll go back to these chop shops, people behind wherever they're doing these quickie abortions, and are women doing it themselves? I mean, we saw that.
Okay.
You know, coat hanger thing. I mean, it'll happen.
Okay.
Right?
My head is spinning off my shoulders right now. You're shocking me. Because before that, yeah, there were people that did the coat hanger thing and the back alley thing. And yeah, I agree with that. But also, there were also people, Steve, that thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that because I could possibly die. So I'm going to step up to the responsibility because I had a part to play in it in my pregnancy, and I'm going to bring this baby to term. Maybe there might be some of those people. Maybe some of those women might not have died.
You know, that's true. But I also saw on TV lately, there's a pill you can buy, and you don't even have a prescription for it. It's the day after, I guess, pill. Within 3 or 4 days after having unprotected sex, you could basically dislodge the planted seed, the egg itself, and spontaneous, I guess you call that a spontaneous abortion. I guess you could call it that. But, I mean, responsibility. I mean, why are we even – why in this day and age when we have so many choices in birth control, John, why are we still having issues where somebody's saying, I got accidentally pregnant?
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
Yeah, it's being used as a convenience, and the government is funding this, right. And they shouldn't be funding it. Yeah.
They have many more contraceptions than we did growing up, many more. And there's no excuse for any of this anymore. It's really it's free. Yeah. You can get it at the clinic, and then you don't have to go through this whole thing of what should I do and I want to terminate. Again, just following, being accountable and doing some work and doing the right thing, and you'll never be in this bad situation.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we're starting to run out of time here and we got callers, but okay. I'm in agreement. I think it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett. I think that it will be based on this. Well, who did Ronald Reagan nominate, and who was the first woman Supreme Court justice? Sandra Day O'Connor, and it was Ronald Reagan that did it.
Yeah.
By the way, the other one, well, she wasn't the first. I think, wasn't Ruth Bader, wasn't she?
Ginsburg?
Yeah.
Who did her?
I forget. But here's a very interesting, now, you know who her husband is, right?
Greenspan, right? Yeah. Greenspan.
No, not Alan Greenspan. No.
Who's her husband?
Alan Greenspan, that's the woman that's on MSNBC.
That's right. Okay.
Anyhow, I'm starting to get confused of where the hell I was going with this. At any rate, the Trump administration is preparing to nominate a new justice to the Supreme Court. Liberals are probably wishing for nothing more than someone in the mold of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, her husband was a big NAMBLA freak. The National Association of Man and Boy Love.
Right.
That's who, but there's more on, Ruth. It's a good time to point out that Ginsburg isn't even particularly a fan of the document she's supposed to be interpreting. In remarks she made during a 2012 visit to Cairo, and I've got the video in case anybody doubts me, in her own words, the Cairo University in Egypt, which had just undergone major changes from the Arab Spring Revolution and the overthrow of strongman Hosni Mubarak. Ginsburg did offer praise for the U.S. Constitution, but thought the Egyptians, and indeed any nation, could look elsewhere. She says, it's a very inspiring time that you have overthrown a dictator and that you're striving to achieve a genuine democracy. Here we go again with democracy. So I think people in the United States are hoping that this transition will work and there will genuinely be a government by and for the people. Now, that was according to what she said, this according to the Middle East Media Research Institute. I met the head of the Elections Commission. I think that the first step has gone well and that the elections have been held for the lower house and everyone has considered to be free and fair, blah, blah, blah. She said, so that's one milestone, and the next will be drafting a constitution. She says, I can't speak about what the Egyptian experience should be, but because I'm operating under a rather old constitution. The United States, in comparison to Egypt, is a very new nation, and yet we have the oldest written constitution still in force in the world. She said, but let me say first that a constitution, as important as it is, will mean nothing unless the people are yearning for liberty and freedom. If the people don't care, then the best constitution in the world won't make any difference. So the spirit of liberty has to be in the population, and then the constitution. First, it should be a safeguard to basic fundamental human rights, like our First Amendment, the right to speak freely and to publish freely without the government as a censor. So far, so good, right? Well, then she goes on to say, you should certainly be aided by all the Constitution's writings that have gone on since the end of World War II. I would not look to the U.S. Constitution if I were drafting a constitution in the year 2012. I might look at the Constitution of South Africa. That was a deliberate attempt to have a fundamental instrument of government that embraced basic human rights, had an independent judiciary. She says, it really is, I think, a great piece of work that was done, much more recent than the U.S. Constitution. Canada has a Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It dates to 1982. She says, apparently, the U.S. Constitution is outdated to Ms. Ginsburg. Now, she goes on to say, she says, while there's nothing necessarily wrong with the country looking elsewhere, she does not believe in the Constitution. All of what I've read of what this woman believes, yeah. Ruth Gator, Bader Rinton, no.
Right.
Betty, North Carolina. Hello, Betty.
Hi, I'm a little off topic, I'm afraid, and I enjoy so much everything that you guys do and say. Two things. One thing is your call, I sure would like to hear an awful lot of people trying to get the president to pardon him. I'm sure people have said that.
He's still in jail after all these years. What has it been, 35 years?
35 years, terrible. You know, I thought if maybe every one of your people would start out the program suggesting people call or something about maybe something would be done. That was one thing.
Yeah, but Betty, I understand and appreciate and I fully agree with you, but he's buried way under the funeral pyre. There's many bodies piled on top of him.
But he's the worst one I know of my lifetime. Because he didn't do anything.
Except speak out and go after the very people that were coming after him. Wasn't it the IRS?
He was 20 years old.
Yeah.
Gordon, Yorick Kyle, Call.
Yeah.
K-A-H-H-L.
Mm-hmm.
Yorick Call.
Mm-hmm.
He was 20 years old, and they shot him in the arm, and he did nothing at all. And he's been in the jail ever since. Anyway,
yeah.
The other thing is most people, I think, carry their registration for voting in their wallet for some reason, but they do. And on the back of it is a list of the different districts for the different four levels of government that they have. If people would just go to the Internet and get that district number and who represents them at that district number, and I think there's probably about 8 or 10 of them, that they could put it down on a piece of paper so they knew the names, and then next to the names they could put what they consider to be the most important thing that office should do. And if they would feel responsible enough to just make that much effort, I think our citizenship would be a great deal more respected by everybody, including ourselves. And that's all I had to say.
Thank you, Betty.
Okay. Thank you for everything.
She, this is dealing with local politics. It's what affects us closely in our own backyard. Little wish list. Put it on the receipt. Oh, we don't get a receipt, do we? Well, you kind of took me aback here on the you being in the medical industry. I understood where you were coming from, but you kind of took me aback there.
Well, like I said, you won't have problems if you do the right things in the beginning. So we have choices, and they're pretty simple. I mean, they really are more easy today than it was back in our day growing up. And so I don't like it when I see girls walking around and they're saying, well, I got accidentally pregnant. You know, no, there's no, there's choices now, and you're lazy.
People use that excuse as, can I get pregnant by sitting on a toilet seat?
Yeah. So there's just no excuse. And I figure if you do it the right way, then you don't lead to this problem here. And that's kind of where I go. So why are we here with this problem? Because of irresponsibility here. I don't know.
Yeah, abortion funded by the government, being propped up Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. You know, I get the argument. And the way I bit into the argument years ago when I was just really wet behind the ears is some enterprising individual came forth and said, wait a minute, you know, we're talking about a woman here and the ability to make judgment for herself. If she does not have control over her own body, then who should? And the argument was made, and I'm sorry to say that I bit into the argument. You don't want the government telling you what to do with your own body, do you? And that's what resonated with people.
But they are.
But
mandatory vaccine. Well, of course. For your children. Yeah.
Yeah. But we understand the root of the problem. But that's, I'm just saying, Steve, that's how it was sold to people. And they went, yeah, we don't want the government telling us what to do with our bodies.
Yeah. I'm still, you know, mind boggles to think that anybody would think that's kind of a birth control. You know, to say, well, you know, I'll just do this if I get pregnant and never take any precautions, and that's their fallback.
Wait,
I'd be blown away that somebody does that.
Wait a minute. We have some breaking news here. It is tonight, Steve.
I just got to hear it said Tuesday night now, but okay. They lied to me again. I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, Mike, what? They're piling into the White House right now for the announcement.
Well, I just sent you an article. It said Tuesday night.
Who did the article without me looking it up? Who did the article?
I'm looking here.
Okay. Yeah,
I just sent it over. I said Tuesday night. Now they lied to me again.
Okay. I want to know who's lying here. That's the whole point.
Well, yeah, it's somebody in media. I don't know.
Somebody in media?
Well, I just pulled up something I could find, and it said, you know, they decided to hold off until Tuesday night now.
Here it is.
Let me see.
That's interesting.
The Daily Beast.com. Trump Supreme Court pick. SCOTUS announcement Tuesday night.
Yeah, that is, and I've heard about this website before, putting out this information. That's why I found it most compelling to find out who's putting this information out, because they have been known to put out bad information in the past.
Now, I know Snopes is bad. Forget Snopes.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have to look around here, but I just grabbed the first thing I saw there.
Okay. By the way, your email didn't even come to me. When did you send it?
Yeah, let me see here. I sent it to you 8 o'clock. Yep, 8 o'clock, 57 minutes ago it said.
Wow, it didn't even show up on my inbox.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, John, I just want to let the audience know that I will not be in the studio for next Sunday. No show Sunday.
Okay.
Show on 22 on the 22nd. I'll be at a wedding that weekend.
Right.
And celebrating my birthday. Here you go.
You're going to be
26.
47.
No. 26.
By the way, did you speak to Ron McDonald?
I didn't get through.
Okay.
He didn't answer. He didn't answer.
All right. Well, he is doing better.
Yes, he is. He's doing better. I'll try tomorrow.
All righty, sir. All right. Thank you, Steve.
You got it. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Okay. Thanks for being here, folks. It is tonight. I'm going to stick around and find out who it is. Any bets? I think it's going to be the woman, 46-year-old. I'll bet you James Kelso plays it live. All right. Thanks for being here, folks. Please support the network. We need your support.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-877-877. 928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovine.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.